Good morning. Isn't that good? That's a good story, driving Miss Daisy. Well, you want to get your outline out so that you can follow along with today's message. It's right there in your program. Get that out so that you can take notes. I'll always be grateful to a friend of mine that I haven't seen in years. His name was Daryl, and he and his wife were members at the first church that I pastored. One day, Daryl called and invited me out to lunch, his treat. I said, "Great, where are we going?" I knew Daryl was a man of good taste. He was a classy sort of a fellow who enjoyed classy things, and so my mouth was already watering just at the prospect of being treated to lunch by him. He asked me, "Well, are you free on such and such a day at such and such a time?" I said, "Yes," kind of hoping that he would answer my question, "Where are we going to eat?" And then he said, "Well, good." He said, "Have you ever had Thai food?" And my heart sank. I said, "No." A little bit tersely, just hoping that maybe he would get the hint without being offended, and maybe he would suggest something else, like steak or lobster or something like that. You see, you got to remember that at this time in my experience, many years ago, I didn't even like Chinese food. I could barely stand it. Now I look at it a lot differently, but back then, I didn't even like Chinese food. And the thought of Thai food, I mean, I didn't even know that the people in Thailand had their own kind of food. But even if they did, I had no inclination of trying it. And so all of a sudden when he said Thai food, not only did my heart sink, but I went from anticipation to anxiety all of a sudden. I pictured myself sitting in this restaurant with Daryl trying to make polite conversation while I was eating some concoction of slimy seafood staring up at me with mixed in with foreign-looking vegetables, things that I had never tried before, looking around the place, trying not to be noticed, looking for a potted plant or something where I could ditch the stuff without him knowing about it. But anyway, I'm glad that that didn't happen, because Daryl took me out that day for Thai food. And I'm here to tell you today, many years later, that with one taste of that delectable Thai food, I was hooked. I was hooked for life. And not only today am I a full-fledged Thai food junkie, but I have converted many others to the truth. I have invited people out to dinner, to lunch, just as Daryl once invited me. You see, I was once blind, but now I see. And I owe it all to him, because he took me to a place that I wouldn't have gone on my own, to an experience that I never would have sought out on my own, something I had no inclination to learn. Imagine having a friend like Daryl who would introduce you to the basic and important things of life that you would miss if it were not for that friend. Someone who would inspire you, prompt you, encourage you to experiences and places and people and life-changing truths that you would never find on your own. Well, I'm here to tell you today that such a person exists. He's called the Holy Spirit. He's the third member of the Holy Trinity, the one true God who exists in three distinct persons. And he's here to help you to know Jesus and to show Jesus to others in supernatural ways that you could never do on your own. Today is part three in our series, Breath of Heaven. It's a series on the Holy Spirit. And the title of today's message is Heaven, Help Us. And if you've had a tough week this week, I think our title is very appropriate. Heaven, Help Us. Many Christians know little or nothing about the Holy Spirit, thinking of Him as the silent member of the Trinity, who really doesn't do much, doesn't say much, doesn't have much to do with our everyday lives. But this is false, friends. This is not true. The Holy Spirit is here to help you, but you have to let Him help you. He's a gentleman. He will not force His help on you. He'll offer it as He's offering it here to you today, but He won't force you to take it. Today's message is all about learning how to do that. Three ways the Holy Spirit helps you. That's what we're going to look at. They're printed there on your outline. You just need to fill in the blanks. So point number one, the Holy Spirit helps you to learn Christian truth. Just recently, a woman here at Stony Creek Church put her faith in Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. Her name is Kathy LeMay. She's sitting right there. Why don't you raise your hand there, Kathy, and we can thank the Lord that this woman now knows Christ as her Lord. She had been resisting the Holy Spirit for some time, but finally she gave in and she surrendered her life to the one who loves her, gave his life for her, dying for her sins and rising from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And a few days after that life-transforming event, I was talking to her on the phone, and she said, "You know, it's amazing, Randy, I finally can understand the Bible." She said, "I can read it and actually get something out of it. I've tried many times in the past to understand the Bible. I would read it, but it just seemed like words on the page that had no meaning. But ever since I put my trust in Christ, it's amazing. The scriptures have come alive to me, and I can understand them in a way that I couldn't before." Well, is this just her imagination? Or maybe some extra enthusiasm? Well, I might think so if it was on any other topic than this, because Jesus promised us this very kind of phenomenon the night before he was crucified. In the Gospel of John, we find this great promise. Jesus taught his disciples about how the Holy Spirit would help them and how he would help us after Jesus ascended into heaven. And the passage I'm looking at here is in John chapter 16, beginning at verse 12. And of course, you know the drill. When it comes to the yellow print, you help me out and read along with me. Jesus says, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear." Jesus says there's more information that's coming. You're just not ready for it yet. "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes," talking about the Holy Spirit, "He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. So you see the progression here. The Father gives to the Son what we need to know about, what we need to learn, and the Son passes that along to the Spirit, and the Spirit passes it to us. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. When Jesus spoke these words, there was no New Testament. There was only the Old Testament scriptures. Everything Jesus had done and said had yet to be written down in what we today call the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The events of the book of Acts, of course, hadn't happened yet when Jesus spoke these words. Paul wasn't even converted yet, and so naturally, none of the letters that Paul wrote had been written at this time. But here, Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit will lead believers into all truth. Not all truth about every conceivable subject, not necessarily nuclear physics or biology or things like that. What he's talking about here is all the truth that we need to know about God, about Jesus Christ, about the Holy Spirit, about the church, and about how to live the Christian life. Do you have your Bible with you this morning? How many of you have your Bibles with you? Let me see those Bibles. You know what you're holding in your hand right here? The Holy Bible is God's written message to the world. Old and New Testaments. Since Jesus spoke those words that we just read up on the screen, God has given us the New Testament in addition to the Old, and now we have between these precious covers God's revelation of truth to us, everything that we need to know. This is what Jesus promised to us. This is God's word, his written message to the world, error-free. Where else can you find a book that has no mistakes in it? Here it is, the Bible. This holy book is the work of the Holy Spirit, written through human authors to give us what we need. What we need to know, not only to be saved, but to live the Christian life. Let me show you a couple verses actually in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Notice the underlined words. All scripture is God-breathed. The Greek word is theopneustos. Spirit-inspired. Spirit-inspired words. That's what you have here in the scriptures. It's God-breathed. And notice what else it says. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, have to do that every once in a while, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be, look at this, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so, in other words, what you have here in this book is everything you need to know in order to live for God. You are thoroughly equipped when you have this book. That's what you're holding in your hands. It's God's gift to you, the owner's manual of life. And so you need to read it. You need to take it into yourself and live on it. And this brings us to the personal element here for you. The Holy Spirit doesn't just hand you a book, say, here's this book. You take it and then he walks out of the room. No. The Holy Spirit also helps you to understand this book. The Holy Spirit brings Jesus to you, to your inner self, so that He can be your own personal Bible teacher. Look at this. Look at the verse again in John 16. He says, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. The Holy Spirit is the breath of God, and He comes to us and brings us what Jesus gives to Him. He brings Jesus' own teaching right to you. How so? Well, let me give you a couple of examples here. Remember when Jesus, after He rose from the dead, He appeared on the road to Emmaus to a couple of His disciples, but He had changed His appearance in this particular time so that these two disciples didn't recognize Him. Do you remember that story? Hope you do. Well, those two disciples at that time, they were pretty discouraged because they still believed that Jesus was dead. They didn't know that He had been raised. And they failed to understand the scriptures in the Old Testament that had prophesied that the Messiah would die and that He would be raised from the dead. Let's look at this passage. It's in Luke chapter 24, and we pick it up at verse 25. And notice what happens here. He said to them, after they've been complaining and everything, He says, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Notice that when it comes to understanding Scripture, Jesus doesn't say, well, you know, you guys are just a little mentally challenged here. He doesn't point to their intellect. He says it's a matter of the heart. Understanding Scripture mainly is a matter of the heart, not just the intellect, folks. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter His glory? Let's read this next verse together. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning Himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if He were going further, but they urged Him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So He went in to stay with them. When He was at the table with them, He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized Him, and He disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while He talked with us on the road and opened the Scriptures to us? He opened the Scriptures to them. Notice in verse 45, same chapter, it says, then He opened their minds so they could understand. That's a key word, understand the Scriptures. He actually explained the Scriptures to them by opening their minds. Wouldn't it be great to have Jesus Himself explaining the Scriptures to you? How would you like to go to that Bible study? Well, you can. You can go to that Bible study. It's His promise. The Holy Spirit takes Jesus' teaching right to us to teach us the truth. This is what Jesus said in John 16. But it doesn't happen while you sleep. It's not like the Holy Spirit just downloads into your brain the Scriptures. Wouldn't that be great? You know, just kind of download and you all of a sudden can recite the whole Bible, Genesis through Revelation, effortlessly. No, you need to participate. You can't do God's part, but He won't do your part. What's your part? Well, let's look at some practical steps how to let the Holy Spirit teach you the truth. First, study the Scriptures. Now you say, well, now wait a minute. How come we don't get what the guys on the road to Emmaus got? Now wait a minute here. Notice, Jesus didn't teach them what the scriptures said. He taught them what the scriptures meant. He assumed that they had learned the basic content themselves. That takes discipline, folks. That takes reading the scriptures daily, meditating on the scriptures, memorizing them, attending church where you can get teaching, attending your small group Bible studies where you can dig into the Word that way. All of these things are our part. The Spirit won't do this for you. You have to do that part. Another thing that will help us is pray for illumination. Every time you open this book, ask the author for help. Look at Psalm 119, verse 18. Why don't we read this one together? Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. That's a great prayer to pray. Open my eyes. I need it. God will answer that prayer. Next thing, how to let the Holy Spirit teach you the truth. Let God's word purify you. This is very, very important. Look at what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 25. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that's us, to make her holy. How does he do that? Cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word. The Word is the water that washes us. It cleans up our minds. It cleans up our hearts. It cleans up our souls. But you've got to, obviously, allow that process to happen. You don't go into the shower with an umbrella, do you? Your shower isn't going to do you any good. The soap can be there, the shampoo, but if you got an umbrella, you're not going to get any cleaner. Well, when we come to the water of God's Word, we've got to allow it to wash us. God is going to convict you of your sin. And when that happens, as you read the Word, you need to confess it and repent of it and forsake it. That's so important to get clean. Next one on this, how to let the Holy Spirit teach you to the truth, is to humbly accept God's Word. I cannot emphasize strongly enough the need for humility when you come to the Word of God. Humility. God is in the driver's seat. God is speaking. We don't question him. We don't argue with him. We don't debate with him. When he says something, we're supposed to believe that and act on it. Look what James chapter 1, verse 21 says. He says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. That's what we just talked about, the purifying. So you need to get rid of that. And then it says, notice this, and humbly accept the Word. Humbly accept the Word planted in you, which can save you. If you go to the Word of God with an arrogant attitude that, you know, you're going to use it just to beat somebody up with your big Bible or to prove somebody else wrong, that's your only reason. Instead of that humble attitude, the Holy Spirit is not going to be able to work in your life. Another thing is, lastly, obey what you learn. When you fail to obey, you block the Holy Spirit's work in your life. Let me show you how. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourselves. Underline that word, deceive. Do what it says. Don't just listen. Don't just take in. Don't just learn. But you have to receive it and obey it. You see, when you shut the work of the Holy Spirit out by refusing to act on what you've learned, you get, as this verse says, deception rather than illumination. deception rather than illumination. We go to the Word to get illumination, hoping the Holy Spirit will enlighten us, but if we don't go with an attitude of obeying it, we actually get the opposite. You get deceived. So it can be dangerous reading your Bible, folks, if you don't do it with the right kind of attitude. Okay, so the Holy Spirit teaches us. That's the first thing that we learn. We learn Christian truth. The second way the Holy Spirit helps you, this is point number two on your outline, He helps you remember Jesus' teachings. Remember His teachings. Back when I was in seminary, going for my master's degree in theology, I took some classes on how to prepare and deliver sermons. That's called homiletics. That's the big word for how to prepare and deliver sermons. And in those classes, we were videotaped while we were, giving our sermons to the class, and the whole class would critique you. They had these critique sheets. And you had the professor, he'd be behind a glass like in a little sound booth in the back, and he'd be talking through a microphone, critiquing you on the track there. And all of that, if that wasn't enough to, you're new at this and you're just learning and stuff, and if all of that wasn't enough to make you nervous, they wouldn't allow you to have any notes up there. You had to prepare the sermon, and it had to be good stuff, but you couldn't bring any notes up there. You could have your Bible, and that was it. And you were expected, basically, to kind of memorize what you were going to say. And even if you did that, even if you memorized every word of the sermon manuscript and got up there, there's always, inevitably, that terrifying moment when the screen goes blank, right? You ever been there? Just for anything, It's just, I can't think of it. You feel like you're standing there naked in front of all of these people. And how good it would be. I remember talking to the professor. I said, if you just had, we're just able to have a little outline up there, with just a word or two, just to kind of prompt what to say next. Just a little prompting would go so well. Well, folks, this is what the Holy Spirit does for us when it comes to the words of Jesus. Maybe not the words of a sermon, but the words of Jesus. So if you see my mind go blank up here and all of a sudden I start quoting Jesus, you know what happened. Look at John chapter 14, beginning at verse 25. Jesus says, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Remind you. Underline that word. Remind. Remind you. Ever wondered how the writers of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, managed to remember that everything that Jesus said, all the different things that he did? They may have taken some notes during Jesus' ministry, that's possible. And in that culture, rabbis would train their students, this is part of the culture, to memorize their teachings verbatim and to recite them back. And so I think there's good reason to believe that Jesus did this with his disciples. And yet, what would keep them from still getting it wrong? I mean, after all, nobody's perfect. Forgetting important details, or perhaps changing or twisting something, even accidentally. Well, the answer is here in this passage. Jesus specifically promised that the Holy Spirit would supernaturally enable his eyewitness disciples to remember his words so that they would not only get it right, but that they would explain it correctly. John's gospel gives us some real life examples of this. Now you remember, John is writing this down many years later about the things that he saw and heard in the ministry of Jesus. And he gives us a few examples of this very phenomenon as he writes. You remember the occasion when Jesus threw the money changers out of the temple? You remember that? He got really mad at them and made a whip out of some cords, and he chased them all out of there. And he said some pretty heavy things that day, some things that were a little tough to understand. But notice what John says in John chapter 2, verse 22. It says about these events and the tough things he was saying. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. So John is saying, here was the Holy Spirit at work helping us to see that event in proper perspective. The day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. You remember that occasion? His disciples didn't understand what was going on at the time. They were all caught up in the hubbub, and they didn't understand what was happening, that this had been predicted centuries before by the Old Testament prophets. But John chapter 12, verse 16 shows us that the Holy Spirit later helped them to understand it. It says, at first his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. So the Holy Spirit had helped them not only to remember these events, but to understand them and to make sense of them. The promise of remembering God's word applies to us too. That's the good news. I've had this happen to me. I don't know how many times, many, many times. And maybe I'll be counseling a person or witnessing to an unsaved friend or maybe debating a cultist or something. And many, many times I've had the Lord just give me a passage of Scripture that was just right. And not only me, you think, well, he's a pastor. That kind of thing probably happens regularly to pastors. No, I've had people tell me this, Christians tell me this over and over again, how the Lord just put on their heart the right passage, the right truth at the right time. But you have to play a part too, folks, in this. The Holy Spirit is not going to just text message your brain these Bible passages if you've never studied them yourself. Just like the disciples. I mean, the disciples weren't just walking around out somewhere and they got this stuff. No, first they had been there to witness the ministry of Jesus and to listen to him. They followed him around. And they contemplated these things. They obeyed him. They followed him even at the cost of their own lives. And because of that, they were able to take in what the Holy Spirit gave them. The Holy Spirit is sending to your heart and to your mind the signals, but you have to have the antenna up. You have to be listening. So the Holy Spirit helps us to learn, the Holy Spirit helps to remind us, and then the third way the Holy Spirit helps you is point number three on your outline. He helps you to witness to unbelievers. You know, I always get nervous witnessing to unbelievers, especially in a one-on-one situation. Can anybody relate to that? A few? Most of you not. either that or most of you are either liars or just too tired to raise your hand right now. but you know, in a big crowd situation or at a funeral or at a wedding, I can stand up and absolutely no problem, courageous, bold, but you put me in the chair with a little skinny 19-year-old at Fantastic Sam's and or my 90-year-old neighbor, you know, across the street, and I can get bound up like I had eaten a banana or something, you know? Just, what do I say? How do I articulate this? But fortunately, there's the Holy Spirit. Look at John chapter 15, beginning at verse 26. Jesus says, when the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. Oh, great. The Holy Spirit's going to get out there, and he's going to testify. And we can watch him testify. But then, look at verse 27. And you must also testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. So the Holy Spirit isn't just going to do it himself. He is going to testify through you, is the point here. The Holy Spirit provides the courage for you to witness. All we have to do is take the first step and open our mouths. This applies even to the scariest of witnessing opportunities, not just the easy ones. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Jesus is speaking, beginning at verse 18. Jesus says, on my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses, key word, to them and to the Gentiles. Wow, this is scary. These are real scary situations. Anybody here been dragged up before a political person to testify, maybe under threat of your life? Nobody? Well, hey, this has been the scary kind of situation here, scarier than anything we've ever been through. But look at verse 19. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Wow. Amen. This is a promise. Don't sweat it, he says. Don't sweat it. Remember Stephen, the great man of God in the book of Acts, who stood trial before the Jewish high council, the Sanhedrin, and he ended up being stoned to death for his testimony of his faith in Jesus Christ. Look at Acts chapter 6, it tells us that these men began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against his wisdom or the Spirit by whom he spoke. The Holy Spirit gave him the ability to testify under that great pressure. The Holy Spirit helps us, even in the toughest of spots. How does this work? Well, it's kind of tough to explain. I just know from experience that it happens. We've all seen a person who's drunk, right? Of course, none of us have ever been there, right? Well, the person who's drunk might normally be shy or reserved, but when that person gets loaded up, it's a different story. All of a sudden, you hear things you never thought this person would ever say. Does things he'd never thought he would dream of doing, and probably regret these things when he finally sobers up. I did what? I said what? Well, in a much more positive way, the Holy Spirit enables us to say and do things, good things, that we would never dream of being able to say or do in our own strength or natural ability. Scripture says, look at Ephesians 5:18. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. Notice the contrast between being under the influence of alcohol versus being under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You might say that being filled with the Holy Spirit is the positive Christian version of getting intoxicated. You surrender control and come under His influence. And it's not like you lose your senses. You really come to your senses when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But there's still the human responsibility, folks. Just as you have to decide to drink and keep on drinking, you have to decide to surrender to the Holy Spirit's influence. Also, the Holy Spirit will give you the courage and the boldness, but you have to learn the gospel message As Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead, you're a sinner. You can't be saved unless you put your trust in Jesus. You have to learn how to effectively share that and decide to open your mouth when the time comes. You girls writing messages down there? Watch out. Don't do that. Write on your outline, fill in the blanks. But don't be writing messages to each other. See, there's human responsibility right there. I remember visiting a Kingdom Hall once of Jehovah's Witnesses many years ago. And for those of you who don't know, the Jehovah's Witnesses are not just another Christian denomination like Catholic or Baptist or Nazarene or Presbyterian or Methodist. The Jehovah's Witnesses are actually a cult that deny basic Christian truths. And I was interested in learning about them because I really wanted to learn how to witness to them. And so I visited one of their meetings at their Kingdom Hall. And I didn't intend to, you know, make a scene or not necessarily even talk to anybody. I just kind of wanted to learn from being there and maybe buy some of their materials so that I could study them. But after the service, one of the Jehovah's Witnesses started asking me some questions. And a little debate started getting fired up there. Before you know it, another Jehovah's Witness walked up right there in the middle of the hall and all the seats around us, and he started chiming in, and then another one, and then another one, and then another one. Pretty soon I'm surrounded, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses all over the place. And there's this older guy, a real, you know, long-timer, old-time Jehovah's Witness. He's sitting in the chair, and he's shooting at me from over there, and here it is. You know, and it's funny, when I first began talking with these guys, I thought, you know, just go easy. Don't open your big mouth. Just say whatever to get out of here. You know, you're not on friendly turf. But I sensed, honestly, I sensed the power of the Holy Spirit prompting me. And I had to make a decision right then. Am I going to go for it or not? I said, let's go for it. And it's funny. I mean, by the grace of God, and I give him all the credit, I was able to mow down every one of their arguments and share the truth with them. And not only that, but after that time, right that evening, I befriended a Jehovah's Witness who was there, and we began talking, and we talked for a long time, not only that night, but we began meeting on a regular basis. And God started working in his life. I've lost touch with him, but I really saw that he was under the conviction, what I believed, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, the Holy Spirit gave me that strength, but I had to decide to either go for it or not. And I thank God that I did. Christian, the Holy Spirit is here. He's in your life to help you in many, many ways. We've just looked at three of those ways today. There are many, many other things we can talk about and we'll continue to as this series goes on. But many Christians never seem to experience the Holy Spirit's power in their lives, not because he isn't here, not because he isn't in their life, but because the person just isn't taking that step of faith, not surrendering the Spirit, not asking for him to fill them. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you every day, on a regular, several times per day. And surrender to him. You have to open your Bible, open your mind, open your heart, open your life, and then open your mouth when you get out there. Do your part, and the Holy Spirit will do his part. Which brings us to our main idea. The one thing you need to remember if you forget everything else that I say, and it goes like this. Let the Holy Spirit help you to know and to show Jesus. To know and to show Jesus. Quickly, some practical steps. How to know and show Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Practical steps of application. Begin a daily Bible reading program if you're not already in one. Now, we're going through the Old Testament challenge at 9:15. In 09, we're going to start the New Testament challenge. We're going to read through the New Testament as a church. Become a part of that. Start in the new year reading through the Bible. Next, ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand, believe, and obey what you read. Ask Him. Talk to the author, for crying out loud. He's right there. Ask Him, and He's more than willing to help you. Next, look for ways to apply what you learn. Share your faith with unbelievers, trusting the Holy Spirit to help you. We have to take our step. Today we heard about this gentleman who's in the midst of us who needs some help. There's a great way to apply what we're learning here today. Just as my friend Daryl coaxed me out of my comfort zone to try Thai food, the Holy Spirit will coax you out of your comfort zone to learn, to understand, to believe, to obey God in ways you've never dreamed possible. He's calling you. He's inviting you today. But will you accept the invitation? That's really the issue. We're going to close our service now here in just a minute. But first, we're going to have our offering, and we're going to ask the ushers and musicians and everybody who's going to be involved in that. I think we've got a young man who's going to be helping us today. And there he is, little Mr. Dunfield Jr. there. And this is going to be a real treat for us to have Devin play. So we'll listen up for that. If God is working in your heart and you'd want to talk to somebody after the service, come on down here. Ron and Mary are here to pray with you if you need that, or counsel with you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for all the things you bless us with. We think, Lord, of the material blessings, the food, the drink, the transportation, the homes, the clothing, and all of those, of course, are blessings. But much greater than any of those things is you yourself. You've blessed us with your own dear presence in the person of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for Him. I pray, Lord, that we would avail ourselves today of what He is offering us, the help that He's offering us, so that we might know and show Jesus. Thank you for blessing us, Lord, as we give to you. We pray that we would give generously from the heart, as you've told us, of our tithes and our offerings. Bless this offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.